Now we will have the second part of the gathering with Sheikh Dr. Muhammad bin Ahmed Al-Faythi Habibullah Ta'ala. And the Sheikh Habibullah Ta'ala will talk about the fiqh of making inkar or responding to or forbidding the evil. And its effects in protecting security and safety.
حقيقة أنا أرسلت الرابط للأخ ناصر اللي يعطيها الأخوة من أراد أن ينزل المذكرة ويعلق عليها فله ذلك.
And the Sheikh Habibullah Ta'ala, he sent the link for the soft copy of this lecture because it's actually written. So if individuals can get it later on from Nasser, Abu Abdullah, can download it, right? The title of the lecture, Fiqh Inkar al-Munkar, Kathiruhu fi Hifd al-Aman. It's available on the internet.
You have a copy on Telegram. I sent you one last week.
For those who don't know the Sheikh does speak English. Okay.
Alhamdulillah, salatu salam ala Rasulillah, Nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa man ihtada bi huda. موضوعنا كما سمعتم هو فقه إنكار المنكر وأثره في حفظ الأمن و الفقه هو نعمة من الله سبحانه وتعالى يتفضل بها على من يشاء من عباده.
The Sheikh Habibullah Ta'ala began by praising Allah Azza wa Jalla and sending salams upon the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he said, as you've heard, the title of the lecture is the understanding of forbidding the evil and its effect in protecting the safety and security. And he mentioned that fiqh it's a blessing from Allah Azza wa
Jalla.
Because of the statement of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, whoever Allah wants good for, he gives him understanding of the religion. And we also understand the statement from the opposite, and that is, whoever Allah doesn't want good for, he doesn't give him understanding of the religion.
وهذا ما ذهب إليه سماحة الشيخ عبد العزيز بن باز رحمه الله.
And this is that which Sheikh bin Baz rahimahullah ta'ala, this understanding is that which Sheikh Abdul Aziz bin Baz rahimahullah ta'ala mentioned.
وإزداد الفقه أهمية عندما يتعلق بشعيرة الأمر بالمعروف والنهي على المنكر.
And verily, understanding and fiqh, it increases in its importance when it's related to the affair of forbidding the evil and enjoining the good.
لذلك فإن الفقه في هذه الشعيرة يوفق بسببه المحتسب إلى طريقة النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم وصحابته.
And verily, because this fiqh, this understanding, it goes back to the way of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم and his companions.
ولذلك يقول شيخ الإسلام رحمه الله في الواسطية.
And because of that, it was mentioned by Sheikh al-Islam رحمه الله تعالى in his book العقيدة الواسطية.
وهو يصف أصحاب النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم.
And he's describing the companions of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم.
ويقول عنهم ويأمرون بالمعروف وينهون عن المنكر على ما توجبه الشريعة.
When Sheikh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah mentioned about the companions of the Prophet, he said they ordered the good and they forbid the evil based on the legislation.
وقد سار على ذلك الإمام محمد عبد الوهاب رحمه الله في رسالته إلى أهل القصيم.
And similar to that is what Sheikh Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahhab rahimahullah ta'ala in his treatise to the people of Qasim, he mentioned the same thing.
حيث قال وأرى وجوب الأمر بالمعروف والنهي عن المنكر على ما توجبه الشريعة المحمدية.
When he said, Sheikh Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahhab rahimahullah ta'ala said, and I see, or my opinion is to enjoin the good and forbid the evil upon the legislation of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam.
فتأمل هذه القيود من هذين الإمامين حيث لا يكون الأمر والنهي إلا بهما.
So understand that which they mentioned, these two imams, Sheikh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah and Sheikh Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahhab, what they mentioned about the limits of enjoining the good and forbidding the evil.
والذي توجبه الشريعة تحصيل المصالح وتكميلها ودرء المفاسد وتقليلها.
And that which the legislation has implemented, or that which the legislation has legislated, is that the good is brought about and the harm is prevented.
والمتأمل لما يطرح في الساحة اليوم.
And the individual that looks or focuses on that which is present and widespread today.
أن غالبها يتحدث عن فضل الأمر بالمعروف والنهي عن المنكر وأهميته.
That most of it is centered on the merits of enjoining the good and forbidding the evil and its importance.
في الوقت نفسه لا نجد الكلام على فقه الأمر بالمعروف والنهي عن المنكر بالقدر الذي يكفي.
But we do not find sufficient information speaking about the understanding of the true understanding of enjoining the good and forbidding the evil.
وهذا الطرح أوجد عند البعض حرصا على الاحتساب دون الحرص على التفقه بالاحتساب.
And the individuals, the reason why this is taking place because the individuals are more focused on getting the reward and not focus on the understanding of this particular affair.
ولذلك لو تأملنا طريقة محمد عبد الوهاب رحمه الله في كتاب التوحيد.
Because of that, if we were to focus on the way of Sheikh Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahhab in his book of Kitab al-Tawheed.
حيث لم يبدأ في كتابه العظيم بفضل التوحيد وأهميته.
He did not begin his book with the merits of Tawheed and the importance of it.
بل بدأ بقوله في الباب الأول كتاب التوحيد وقول الله تعالى وما خلقت الجن والإنس إلا ليعبدون.
But rather he began his book with the book of Tawheed and the statement of Allah عز وجل I have not created the jinn nor mankind except to worship.
ثم جاء في الباب الثاني فقال باب فضل التوحيد وما يكفر من الذنوب.
And then in the second chapter he mentioned the chapter of the merits of Tawheed and the expiation of the sins.
فلم يتكلم الشيخ رحمه الله عن الفضل والأهمية والمكانة للتوحيد ابتداء.
So he did not first speak about the merits of Tawheed at the beginning of the book.
إلا بعد أن عرف التوحيد وتكلم في مسائله وفصل إليها.
Except that he mentioned the importance of Tawheed specifically in detail.
فإن النفوس بهذه الطريقة تتشوق إلى معرفة الأجر المترتب على هذا.
Verily the individual when they know first about the importance of it, then they would have the desire to learn more about it.
وهذه الطريقة سبق إليها الصحابة رضي الله عنهم.
And this was actually done first by the companions of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم.
فهذا حمران رحمه الله مولى عثمان.
You had the individual حمران who was the freed slave of عثمان.
دعا بإناء يقول عثمان أن عثمان بن عفان دعا بإناء فأفرغ على كفيه ثلاث مرار فغسلهما.
That Uthman bin Affan ordered him or instructed him to bring a vessel with water and he poured over the palms of his hands three times.
ثم أدخل يمينه في الإناء فمضمض واستنشق.
Then Uthman رضي الله تعالى عنه put his hand in the vessel and he did the entering of the water in the nose and the gargling in the mouth.
ثم غسل وجهه ثلاثا ويديه إلى المرفقين ثلاثا.
Then Uthman رضي الله تعالى عنه he washed his face three times and he washed his hands up to his elbows three times.
ثم مسح برأسه.
Then he wiped his head.
ثم غسل رجليه ثلاث مرات إلى الكعبين.
And then he washed his feet three times up to the ankles.
ثم قال وهذا هو الشاهد.
And this is the point. Then Uthman said.
رأيت النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم يتوضأ نحو الوضوء هذا.
The first statement that Uthman said, verily I saw the Prophet make the ablution the way I had made the ablution.
ثم قال من توضأ نحو الوضوء هذا.
Then Uthman said, whoever makes ablution the way it has been made now.
ثم صلى ركعتين لا يحدث فيهما نفسه.
And then he prays two units of prayer without speaking about outside matters, without thinking about outside matters.
غفر الله له ما تقدم من ذنبه.
Allah would forgive that which proceeded of his sins.
فعثمان رضي الله عنه علم الصحابة ومن حوله كيفية الوضوء.
So Uthman رضي الله تعالى عنه, the first thing that he did was he informed the Sahaba how to make the ablution.
وفصل لهم الطريقة التي رأى عليها النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم.
And he clarified for them the specific description of the ablution of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم.
ثم أخبرهم بعد ذلك بالفضل والأجر والثواب المترتب عليها.
Then after that he informed them about the reward and the merits of doing it.
أيها الإخوة, المتحدث عن فضل الأمر المعروف والنهي عن المنكر ومكانته لا يمكن أن يفهم السامع له الطريقة التي يؤمر بها.
Now, if you speak about the merits, if you speak about the merits of enjoining the good and forbidding the evil, the listener does not know the fiqh does not know the understanding of enjoining the good and forbidding the evil.
فكلٌ يفهم أن الفضل المترتب على الأمر والنهي هو على طريقته الخاصة التي يقوم بها.
Because if you just inform him about the merits, he would think that him wanting to enjoin the good and forbid the evil, this is that which is accepted, and this is that which would bring about the merits.
فالمعتزلة والخوارج مثلا وأهل البدع عموما عندما يسمعون الكلام في الفضل والأهمية فهم ينزلونها على أنفسهم.
For example, the Mu'tazila and the Khawarij, when they hear the narrations about enjoining the good and forbidding the evil, they apply it to their understanding.
ويظنونها أنها طريقتهم التي يسلكونها في الإنكار.
And they feel that this is the correct manner in enjoining the good and forbidding the evil.
فالمسألة تحتاج إلى تفصيل قبل ذلك في فقه الأمر وفقه النهي.
So before we go into the rest, it needs us to understand the true fiqh behind enjoining the good and forbidding the evil.
فمن هنا حصل الجهل بالفقه في هذه المسائل.
And because of lack of understanding, ignorance has taken place in this regard.
فالمشاهد اليوم والمطلع لما يحصل في الواقع من انحرافات فكرية ومنهجية وعقدية.
So because of that which you see presently, or that which you see presently of deviation in with regards to fiqh, with regards to aqidah, with regards to dealings,
يجد أن عدم الفقه في الإنكار سبب عظيم من أهم أسبابها.
The people see that one of the greatest reasons for that deviation is the people not having understanding of their affair of enjoining the good and forbidding the evil.
فهناك علاقة قوية بين الفقه في الإنكار وبين الانحراف في الأفكار.
Because there is a strong relation between understanding how to enjoin the good and forbid the evil, and likewise there's a strong relationship between that and deviation.
فإذا وجد الفقه قل الانحراف.
Because if you have understanding, true understanding, you will have less deviation.
وإذا عدم الفقه كثر الانحراف.
And if you have less understanding, you will have more deviation.
وبالتالي تظهر لنا أهمية الفقه في الإنكار من عدة أوجه.
And because of that, we see the importance of understanding this affair in several ways.
الوجه الأول.
The first way.
أن الفقه في الإنكار يرشدك إلى معرفة الأولويات التي يجب البدء بإنكارها قبل غيرها.
Because if you have understanding of enjoining the good and forbidding the evil, then you have understanding of the priority and you know order you know organizing the priority in enjoining the good and forbidding the evil.
فعندها لا تنشغل بإنكار مهم قبل الأهم.
And if you have understanding, then you will not busy yourself with that which has less priority before that which has more priority.
والذي بدوره قد يحدث خللا في التطبيق.
And because of that, you might bring about deficiency in implementation.
الوجه الثاني.
The second affair.
أن فقه الإنكار يؤدي بك إلى معرفة الجهال بمسائل الإنكار.
Likewise, when you have understanding about enjoining the good, forbidding the evil, you will also understand the ignorant people in this affair.
وكذلك تعرف أهل الأهواء حتى تحذرهم.
And you also know the people of desires so that you can abstain from them.
فهم يحاولون إشغال الناس عن الخطر الحقيقي.
Because the people of desires, they try to busy the people and distract them from the true problem.
وذلك بإنكارهم على مسائل هي دونها في الخطورة.
Because they want to busy them with admonishing or warning against that which has less importance and less priority.
الوجه الثالث.
The third affair.
أن فقه الإنكار دوره عظيم.
Is that understanding, enjoining the good and forbidding the evil, it's a tremendous affair.
وذلك في قطع الطريق على المتربصين بهذه الشعيرة.
Because you are actually cutting off the path of those who seek to deviate and those who seek to guide others astray in this regard.
فلا يجدون ما يستحق النشر لتشويه صورة الإسلام والمسلمين.
So they would not find, يعني, if you cut the path off from them, they would not find a way to distort Islam and distort the religion of the Muslims.
وخير شاهد على هذا ما نراه اليوم.
And the best example for this that I'm mentioning is that which we see today.
من تناول بعض مواقع وسائل التواصل الاجتماعي المرئية والمسموعة والمقروءة.
Is that what you see on different social networks, how they're trying to, you know, distort Islam.
لنشر بعض الصور والتطبيقات والتصرفات الخاطئة الصادرة من بعض المحتسبين.
And what are they doing? They're showing you and they're spreading some of the incorrect actions of individuals that ascribe to Islam.
في بعض المؤسسات والفعاليات.
And they do this with, you know, the help of certain organizations and the likes.
فاستغلها أعداء الإسلام.
So the enemies of Islam have taken advantage of this.
ونشروها ليشوهوا بها صورة الإسلام والمسلمين.
And they have spread it to distort the true image of Islam.
ولذلك فقطع الطريق على الإعلام المغرض له أصل في سنة رسول الله.
So because of that, cutting off the path of this harmful media, you know, these harmful social networks, it has an origin in the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam.
وذلك حينما ترك النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم ترك قتل المنافقين مع كونهم يستحقون القتل.
For example, you had during the life of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, he did not kill the hypocrites, even though they deserved to be killed. He did not kill them صلى الله عليه وسلم.
وعلل هذا بقوله حتى لا يتحدث الناس أن محمدا يقتل أصحابه.
And what did the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم justify this by saying, so that the people do not say that Muhammad kills his companions.
ولذلك في ذلك الوقت عندما لم يدخل الإسلام عندما يرى النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم يقتل المنافقين فهو لا يفرق فهو يظن أن محمدا يقتل أصحابه فعلا وبذلك ينفر من الإسلام.
So for example, those people that did not enter into Islam yet, if they were to see the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam kill his companions and they don't know that these individuals are hypocrites, they would have immediately thought that Muhammad kills his followers.
فيكون ترك النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم لقتل المنافقين درءا لهذه المفسدة العظيمة.
So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, by not killing the hypocrites, he prevented a greater harm.
وهي تشويه صورة الإسلام والتنفير منه.
And that was what? That was distorting the image of Islam and, you know, making people run from it.
واليوم نحن عندما نطبق الاحتساب والإنكار في واقعنا.
And today, when we implement enjoining the good and forbidding the evil presently,
يجب أن نستحضر أن ما نقوله وما نفعله سيكون مسجلا ومرئيا ومشاهدا تحت جميع أنظار العالم.
We should understand that that which we do and that which we say in enjoining the good and forbidding the evil, it would be written and it would be presented in all parts of the world.
فلم يعد الإنكار كالسابق أمام فئة معدودة من الناس.
So now it's not like previously. Now it wouldn't. You enjoining the good and forbidding the evil wouldn't remain amongst a group of people. It would be presented to the world.
بحيث لا يمكن تدارك الخطأ فيه لو حصل.
So, for example, if you make a mistake now, you can't prevent it from spreading different parts of the world.
الوجه الرابع.
The fourth affair.
أن فقه الإنكار يجعلك تستفيد من التاريخ.
If you understand enjoining the good, forbidding the evil, it would allow you to benefit from the history.
وكيف استغلت هذه الشعائر لمآرب سياسية.
And how the people use this incorrectly to benefit politically.
والانحرافات الفكرية على مدى القرون الماضية.
And likewise, many generations of the past, how they deviated by using this lack of understanding.
فالخوارج والمخارجة إنما هو من باب الإنكار.
The Khawarij, when they came about, how did they come about? By saying, we're enjoining the good.
وكذلك المعتزلة.
And likewise, the Mu'tazila.
بل عبد الله بن سبع اليهودي من أوائل إن لم يكن هو الأول من طرق هذا الباب.
And likewise, Abdullah bin Saba al-Yahudi, he's the first to start this affair by saying that what he's doing is enjoining the good and forbidding the evil.
فاستغل هذه الشعيرة في تعليم الناس.
So he took advantage of this opportunity to lead the people astray.
فقد ذكر الطبري في تاريخه.
Imam al-Tabari mentioned in his book of history
أن عبد الله بن سبع قال
that Abdullah bin Saba, the Jew, he said.
ابدأوا بالطعن على أمرائكم.
He said, start by speaking ill about your leaders.
وأظهروا الأمر بالمعروف والنهي عن المنكر.
And display that you are enjoining the good and forbidding the evil.
تستميل الناس.
And the people will trust you.
وأدعوهم إلى هذا الأمر.
And then call them to your deviation.
إذن عبد الله بن سبع بدأ بهذه الطريقة الخبيثة وهي الطعن على الأمراء وإظهارها في لباس الأمر بالمعروف والنهي عن المنكر.
So Abdullah bin Saba, he began with this deviant way. He began by speaking ill of the rulers and beautifying it as enjoining the good and forbidding the evil so he can spread his deviation.
وعلل هذا بقوله تستميل الناس.
And he said, he justified this by saying, the people will trust you.
فالغالب أن الناس تستميل لمثل هذا الكلام وتنخدع به.
And he said, and that which is apparent or that which is known is that the people, they trust this and they are deceived by it.
وكذلك ما جاء عن ابن تومرت في القرن السادس الهجري.
And likewise that which came by Ibn Tumart, the individual in the 6th century.
حيث أول ما بدأ بقضية الأمر بالمعروف والنهي عن المنكر ثم سجن.
The first thing that he did was that he enjoined the good and forbid the evil, and then he was imprisoned.
ثم شفع فيه وخرج من السجن.
And then someone came and interceded for him, and he was removed from the prison.
وخرج إلى قرية المجاورة من البلدة التي سجن فيها.
And then he went to a village that was next to the village that he was imprisoned in.
وأسس مسجدا سماه مسجد التوحيد.
And then he built a masjid and he named it Masjid al-Tawhid.
فانخدع كثير من الناس بهذا الاسم وبهذا المسجد.
So many of the people were deceived with this masjid.
فأصبح يجند الجنود ويجيش الجيوش.
And then this individual that built this masjid, he began to build an army.
ويعبث بالمعتقدات والأفكار.
And he began to play with the people's understanding and their thoughts.
حتى وصل ذي الحال أن ادعى يوما بعد خطبة الجمعة أنه المهدي.
Until one day after خطبة الجمعة, he gave the claim that he is the Mahdi.
وتلزم مبايعة الحضور ومن لم يبايع يقتل.
And the people have to give him an oath, and if they do not give him an oath, he will kill them.
ثم ادعى أن له كرامات.
And then he said that he has كرامات, which are like abilities that Allah gives an individual who is close to him.
وجعل عليها دليلا أنه قال لهم اذهبوا إلى القبور واسألوهم.
And then he said, the proof that I have these abilities, go to the people of the grave and ask them about me.
وسيقولون لكم أنني المهدي.
And the people of the grave would say that I am the Mahdi.
وقد احتال حيلة بأن اتفق مع بعض الناس فجعل لهم قبورا.
And he used a deceitful way. He made some people, he dug graves for individuals.
ووضع عليهم شيئا يسيرا مما يحول بينهم وبين التراب.
And then he put something, a small barrier between them, and he buried individuals, and he put a small barrier between them and the dirt.
وقال لهم إذا جاءكم الناس يسألونكم عني فقولوا نعم هو المهدي.
And these people were in the graves. These people that are alive are in the graves. There's a small barrier. And he said to them, when people come to you and ask you, respond to them and say, yes, I am the Mahdi.
ونشهد بالله.
And we take Allah as our witness.
فجاء الناس إلى المقبرة وبدأوا يسألون هؤلاء الموتى.
So the people, what did they do? They began to go to the graves and ask the people of the graves.
فكل واحد في قبره نطق بأن هذا هو المهدي فافتتن الناس به.
And the people that were in the grave, they responded and said, yes, he is the Mahdi. So the people were deceived by him.
ولما فرغ من هذه الحيلة أطبق على من في القبور التراب.
And then what did he do? When the people in the graves, the people that went to the graves believed because they heard the people of the grave speak, then he put the true dirt on them, yani he killed them.
فماتوا في قبورهم حتى لا يفتضح أمره.
So all of the people that were buried in the graves, all of them died so that none of them could expose him when they came out.
والمصيبة تكبر وتعظم عندما نجد من يؤرخ لهذه الدعوة عبر القرون الماضية.
And we find the tribulations increases. The tribulations, generation after generation, it increases.
نجد أن هناك من يذكر أن ابن تيمورت من ضمن العلماء الذين قاموا بهذه الشعيرة العظيمة في تاريخ الأمة الإسلامية. نجد أن هناك من يذكر أن ابن تيمورت ضمن العلماء الذين قاموا بهذه الشعيرة.
نعم. And they, you know, what's a tremendous calamity is you have some people that say that this person that did this, he is from amongst the scholars that enjoined the good and forbid the evil.
وقد سلك هو مسلك الملاحدة والجهمية والمعتزلة والمهدية في ضلالاته والعياذ بالله.
And verily the path that he used is the path of the atheist and the path of the Jahmiya in spreading his deviation.
حتى أقام دولة سميت بدولة الموحدين في المغرب العربي.
Until he actually established an empire in Morocco called the Empire of the Muwahidun.
ومن أراد الرجوع إلى المزيد من هذا فيرجع إلى فتاوى شيخ الإسلام سيجد مزيد تفصيل عن هذه الحادثة.
Whoever wants to refer back to or read more about this particular affair, they can refer back to the fatwa of Sheikh al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah ta'ala. He mentions this affair in his fatwa.
فينبغي التنبه والإفادة أن ليس كل من ادعى مثل هذه الشعيرة هو يريدها حقيقة.
So the reality is you have to be careful and be aware that not everyone who claims to want to enjoin the good and forbid the evil is sincere in his claim.
فهو قد يتوصل بها إلى ما يريد.
For verily, some people use this claim to approach or to obtain that which they desire.
وكذلك ما يحدث في عصرنا من تصرفات تحسب على هذه الشعيرة.
And for example, that which takes place today with this justification, enjoining the good, forbidding the evil.
كتوقيع البيانات الجماعية.
For example, people. What do they call them when the list, everybody writes their names? Petitions, now.
والاعتصام أمام بعض المؤسسات والدوائر الحكومية.
And for example, people striking from certain businesses and government offices.
وكذلك ما ينشر على وسائل التواصل واليوتيوب وما شابهها من إنكار مباشر لولي الأمر.
And for example, people openly admonishing, people openly admonishing and going against the rulers on social networks.
وبعض الأمراء كذلك وبعض الوزراء.
And them speaking against some of the ministers and speaking against some of the princes.
والحقيقة أن مثل هذا الطريق يؤجج المشاعر ويدغدغ الغرائز.
And by doing so, they're bringing up the emotions of the people.
ويثير الإحقاد على الحكومات.
And it makes the people hate the rulers.
فهو من أخطر الطرق التي ابتلينا بها في عصرنا الحاضر.
It is one of the dangerous, most dangerous means of them spreading their evil in the present day.
الوجه الخامس.
The fifth issue.
من تلك التوجيهات أن فقه الإنكار يرشدك إلى إنكار المنكرات إنما يكون بالعموم لا بالتفصيل.
And understanding the issue of enjoining the good, forbidding the evil, it allows you to correctly do so generally, not specifically.
وهذه الفائدة استفدتها من فضيلة الشيخ أبي العباس.
And he said,
"Adil Mansour, جزاه الله خير."
And he said, "This benefit I actually benefited from Sheikh Abu al-Abbas, Adil Mansour, the person sitting, the scholar sitting next to him."
وهذا بخلاف الأمر بالمعروف، فإنه يجب التفصيل فيه. هذا بخلاف الأمر المعروف.
الأول.
الأول إنكار المنكرات يكون بالعموم، وأما الأمر المعروف فإنه يجب التفصيل فيه.
نعم. He said, "With regards to forbidding the evil, you generally forbid the evil. But with regards to enjoining the good, you specifically enjoin the good." And this benefit he got from Sheikh Abu al-Abbas.
وشيخ الإسلام رحمه الله يقول في الاقتضاء.
Sheikh al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah رحمه الله تعالى, he has this book, Iqtida' Sirat al-Mustaqim. He mentioned in this book.
وغرضنا لا يتوقف على معرفة تفاصيل باطلهم.
And he said, our intention is not based on knowing the specific detail of their evil.
ولكن يكفينا أن نعرف المنكر معرفة تميز بينه وبين المباح.
It's enough that we know. It's sufficient enough that we know the evil, so that we can distinguish between the truth and the falsehood.
والمعروف والمستحب والواجب أيضا.
And that which is correct, and that which is recommended, and that which is obligatory.
حتى نتمكن بهذه المعرفة من اتقائه واجتنابه.
So that we can, with having this understanding, we can abstain from that which is incorrect.
كما نعرف سائر المحرمات.
Just like we know all of the affairs, or just like we know all of that which is forbidden.
إذ الفرض علينا تركها.
Because that which is obligatory upon us is that we abandon it.
وأكد هذا الكلام العلامة محمد بن إبراهيم رحمه الله مفتي الديار السعودية سابقاً.
And Sheikh Muhammad ibn Ibrahim رحمه الله تعالى, he also supported this speech.
حيث قال في تقريراته على الواسطية.
Where he mentioned in his comments about العقيدة الواسطية.
والمنكرات يكفي معرفتها جملة.
He said, that which is evil, it's sufficient that we know generally.
بخلاف الواجبات فإنها جملة وتفصيلة.
With regards to that which is forbidden, it's sufficient that we know it generally. But with regards to that which is obligatory, we have to know specifically what is obligatory upon us.
اليوم نسمع بعض من ينكر المنكرات يتكلم في التفاصيل حتى يدخل في تفاصيل غريبة ودقيقة جدا ربما يطمع الآخرين في تكرارها وفعلها.
Today we find individuals when they're admonishing, when they're speaking against the evil, you find some of them speak so specifically and detailed about the evil that the people that are listening, they have a desire now to perform the evil.
نعم, قد يتأثر بها ضعيف النفس وربما يكررها فعلا.
It's possible that an individual is weak, he's a listener and he's weak, and he hears about this and he wants to perform it.
وقد ظلت طوائف من أهل البدع في هذا الباب.
And the people of innovation, they have gone astray in this regard.
فمنهم من قعد القواعد لهدم الأصل العظيم والسياج المتين الأمر بالمعروف والنهي عن المنكر.
You have individuals that even have abandoned this issue of enjoining the good and forbidding the evil.
فأصدروا قاعدة وسموها القاعدة الذهبية.
And he even made a principle, and he called it the golden principle.
وهي نجتمع فيما اتفقنا عليه ويعذر بعضنا بعضا فيما اختلفنا فيه.
And this golden principle is that we come together in that which we agree upon, and we excuse one another in that which we disagree upon.
وحقيقة هذه القاعدة وإن سموها ذهبية إلا أنها قاعدة طاغوتية كما ذكر ذلك الشيخ صالح الفوزان.
And like the reality of this principle, Even if it's called a golden principle, it is an evil, despicable principle, as it was described by Sheikh Salih al-Fawzan, Habibullah.
وسماها أيضا الشيخ العثيمين رحمه الله قاعدة خشبية.
And خشبية بمعنى
خشبية.
And Sheikh Uthaymeen رحمة الله عليه, he called it a wooden principle.
وتصدى لها أيضا جمع من العلماء كالعلامة بن باز والألباني رحمهم الله وبينوا عوار هذه القاعدة.
And Sheikh bin Baz رحمه الله تعالى and Sheikh al-Albani رحمه الله تعالى, they refuted this principle.
لأن أول أصل تهدمه هذه القاعدة هو الأمر بالمعروف والنهي عن المنكر.
Because the first thing that this principle seeks to destroy is the affair of enjoining the good and forbidding the evil.
فإذا جئت تنكر على المعتزلي نفيه للصفات جاءتك القاعدة تتدخل وتقول يعذر بعضنا بعضا فيما اختلفنا فيه.
Because for example, if you try to refute and respond to a معتزلي, the first thing he says is, let's excuse one another in that which we disagree.
وإن جئت تنكر على الخارجي التكفير بغير حق وإراقة الدماء والخروج جاءت القاعدة تتدخل أيضا مرة أخرى.
And likewise, if you want to respond and refute a khariji, an individual that kills people without any proofs, without any legislation, the first thing that he says is this principle: let's excuse one another.
فلن يكون هناك منكر يجوز أو يجب إنكاره.
So by doing so, there would be no evil that is upon us to abandon and to speak against.
لأن هذه القاعدة له بالمرصاد.
Because verily, this principle has destroyed any type of evil.
فهي حصن حصين ودرع متين لحماية أهل البدع من أن يصلهم الإنكار.
So it is a fort and it is a protection to protect the people of deviation for against any type of response against their deviation.
هناك طائفة أخرى أيضا ترى الأمر بالمعروف ولكن لا ترى النهي عن المنكر.
And likewise there is another group, they say we enjoin the good but we do not forbid the evil.
كما تفعل جماعة التبليغ.
Like the جماعة التبليغ, تبليغ جماعة.
بل إنها تشارك صاحب المنكر في منكره.
But in fact, in reality, they assist people in performing the evil.
فتطوف مع أهل القبور على قبورهم.
For example, they join the people in circulating the graves.
وتشتري المحرمات للعصاة.
And they buy evil things for sinners.
ويزعمون أنهم بهذا يكسبون القلوب.
And they say, because if we do this, we can gather their hearts.
الوجه السادس,
the sixth affair,
أن الفقه في الإنكار يدلك ويرشدك على أنه لا يلزم أن يوجد بديل لكل منكر تنكره.
Understanding the affair of enjoining the good and forbidden evil would allow you to understand is that there doesn't always have to be a replacement for something that you're forbidding.
فالبديل ليس على إطلاقه.
يعني it is not the affair that there's always a replacement or an alternative.
فقد يكون هناك منكر لا يوجد له بديل.
For example, there might be some evil, there's no alternative to this evil, meaning there's not something else they can perform.
ابن القيم رحمه الله نص على هذا فقال وإنما يكون البديل فيما تشتد حاجة البشر إليه.
ابن القيم رحمه الله تعالى, he mentioned there will be an alternative in that which mankind is in need of.
فإن الله لما حرم الزنا أباح لهم النكاح والتسري.
For example, when Allah تعالى forbade fornication and adultery, Allah has allowed marriage and to have female slaves.
فالعجيب أن يأتي اليوم مثلا من يقال له الخمر حرام فيسأل ما هو البديل.
For example, you have people today, you say alcohol is forbidden. They say, but what's the alternative?
فالاستطراد في هذه القاعدة يوصلنا ويوقعنا في محاذير شديدة.
Because if you allow that, if you always say that there's an alternative, it would make you fall into much danger.
بل من أعظمها أنه يربي الناس على ترك المنكر لوجود البديل لا خوفا من الله.
نعم, because one of the greatest dangers that's involved in this is that you teach the people to abandon the evil if there's an alternative, not because of fear of Allah.
والواجب أن نربي الناس على ترك المنكر خوفا من الله.
And that which is incumbent is that we teach the people to abandon the sin out of fear of Allah, not because there's an alternative.
يقول شيخ الإسلام ابن تيمية رحمه الله.
شيخ الإسلام ابن تيمية رحمه الله تعالى mentioned.
وإذا كان جماع الدين وجميع الولايات هو أمر ونهي.
Because if the comprehension of the religion, the comprehension of the religion is based on ordering the good and forbidding the evil.
فالأمر الذي بعث الله به رسوله هو الأمر بالمعروف.
For verily, that which Allah Taala has sent His Messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم with is enjoining the good.
والنهي الذي بعثه الله به هو النهي عن المنكر.
And verily, that which Allah sent His Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم to forbade is to forbade the evil.
وهذا نعت النبي والمؤمنين كما قال تعالى.
And this is the description of the Prophet ﷺ and the believers.
والمؤمنون والمؤمنات بعضهم أولياء بعض.
Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned the believing men and the believing women. They are the awliya. They are the protectors of one another.
يَأْمُرُونَ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ وَيَنْهَوْنَ عَنِ الْمُنْكَرِ.
They enjoin the good and they forbid the evil.
وجميع الولايات الإسلامية مقصودها الأمر بالمعروف والنهي عن المنكر.
And all relations, Islamic relations, are built on enjoining the good and forbidding the evil.
وأيضا ابن القيم رحمه الله تعرض لهذا الموضوع فقال.
Likewise, Ibn al-Qayyim رحمه الله تعالى mentioned this affair when he said.
إن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم شرع لأمته إجابة إنكار المنكر.
The Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم legislated for his ummah to forbid the evil.
ليحصل بالإنكار من المعروف ما يحبه الله ورسوله.
So that the individuals can perform that which is loved by Allah.
فإذا كان إنكار المنكر يستلزم ما هو أنكر منه.
So if by forbidding the evil, it would bring about a greater evil.
وأبغض إلى الله ورسوله.
And that greater evil is more despicable and hated by Allah and His Messenger.
فإنه لا يسوغ إنكاره.
Then it is not befitting that you forbade that evil.
وإن كان الله يبغضه ويمقت أهله.
Even if Allah hates it and hates the people that perform it.
وهذا كالإنكار على الملوك والولاة بالخروج عليهم.
For example, this is like speaking against and going against trying to overthrow the rulers.
فإنه أساس كل شر وفتنة إلى آخر الدهر.
Because this is one of the foundations of all evil until the final day.
والنبي صلى الله عليه وسلم يقول من رأى من أميره شيئا يكرهه.
The Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم mentioned whoever sees from his ruler that which he dislikes.
فإنه فليصبر عليه فإنه من فارق الجماعة شبرا إلا مات ميتة جاهلية.
For verily the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم mentioned whoever sees from his leader that which he dislikes, he should be patient with it. For the individual that goes against the jama'ah, the group or the body of Muslims, and dies upon it, he would die like during the days of ignorance.
انتهى كلام ابن القيم رحمه الله.
This is the end of the speech of Ibn al-Qayyim, may Allah have mercy upon him.
وفي هذا الحديث فائدة ولطيفة.
And there's a important benefit in this hadith.
من رأى من أميره شيئا يكرهه فليصبر.
The Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم said, whoever sees from his leader that which he dislikes, be patient.
ثم عقب ذلك فقال فإنه من فارق الجماعة.
Then the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم said, for verily the one who leaves the body of Muslims.
دل على أن من لم يصبر فقد فارق الجماعة.
This shows you that the individual who is not patient, he has left the body of the Muslims.
فجعلها قسيما للصبر في الحديث.
So the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم has made this as a distinction for being patient.
فهما أمران إما صبر أو مفارقة للجماعة.
So there's only two affairs in this hadith. Either you're going to be patient or you have left the general body.
وأيضا هناك كلام لابن القيم رحمه الله حيث قال.
There's also another statement of Ibn al-Qayyim when he said.
من تأمل ما جرى على الإسلام في الفتن الكبار والصغار.
Whoever has paid attention to the calamities that have taken place in Islam, that which is tremendous and that which is minute,
رآها من إضاعة هذا الأصل.
They would see that it is because of abandoning this particular principle,
الذي هو الصبر,
which is patience.
فعدم الصبر على وعدم الصبر على منكر فطلب إزالته.
So if the person is not patient upon this evil and instead they seek to remove it,
تولد منه ما هو أكبر منه.
It's possible that they bring about that which is greater and more harmful.
فقد رأى النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم بمكة أكبر المنكرات.
The Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم witnessed in Mecca the greatest forms of evil.
ولا يستطيع تغييرها.
And the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم did not have the ability to change it.
بل لما فتح الله مكة وصارت دار إسلام.
But when Allah عز وجل opened up Mecca and it became an Islamic state.
عزم على تغيير البيت ورده إلى قواعد إبراهيم.
The Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم intended to change the Kaaba and put it upon the foundations of Ibrahim.
ومنعه من ذلك مع قدرته عليه.
But the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم didn't do it, even though he had the ability to do it.
خشية وقوع ما هو أعظم منه.
Because he feared bring about greater harm.
من عدم احتمال قريش.
With regards to Quraysh not being pleased with his action.
ولذلك لقرب عهدهم بالإسلام.
Because they had newly entered into the fold of Islam.
وقال شيخ الإسلام رحمه الله في الفتاوى.
شيخ الإسلام ابن تيمية رحمه الله رحمه الله تعالى mentioned his fatawa.
إن الأمر بالمعروف والنهي عن المنكر من أوجب الأعمال وأفضلها وأحسنها.
Enjoining the good and forbidding the evil, it is from the most obligatory of actions and the best of the actions.
إلى أن قال فإن الله تعالى لا يقبل من العمل إلا ما أريد به وجهه سبحانه.
Until he said, Allah does not accept an action except that it is sincere.
قال تعالى أنا أغنى الشركاء عن الشرك.
Allah عز وجل said, I am the most self-sufficient from shirk, committing partners with me.
من عمل عملا أشرك فيه معي غيري فأنا بريء منه.
Whoever does an action, he places partners with me in this action, I am free from him and the action.
وهذا التوحيد الذي هو أصل الإسلام.
And this is Tawheed, which is the foundation of Islam.
وهو دين الله الذي بعث به جميع الرسل.
And it is the religion of Allah, that which He sent all of the prophets and messengers with.
وله خلق الخلق.
And because of this, Allah created the creation.
وهو حق على عباده أن يعبدوه ولا يشركوا به شيئا.
And it is the right of Allah upon His servants that they worship Him and they do not commit partners with Him.
وقال عمر بن عبد العزيز رحمه الله
ان عمر ابن عبد العزيز may Allah have mercy upon him said
من عبد الله بغير علم كان ما يفسد اكثر مما يصلح.
Whoever worships Allah without knowledge, that which he the harm that he causes is greater than the good that he brings about.
وكما في حديث معاذ العلم امام العمل والعمل تابعه.
And the hadith of Mu'adh, verily knowledge is the leader of
إمام العمل والعمل تابعه.
Verily, knowledge is the leader of action, and actions follow the knowledge.
وهم وقوف على معاذ.
This is the statement of معاذ.
وهذا ظاهر فإن القصد والعمل إن لم يكن بعلم كان جهلا وضلالا.
And this is understood because if a person has an intention, and action, and it is not based off of knowledge, it is deviation.
قال الشيخ الإسلام رحمه الله.
الشيخ الإسلام ابن تيمية رحمه الله تعالى mentioned.
لا بد أيضا أن يكون حليما صبورا على الأذى.
That a person it's incumbent that a person is patient upon harm.
قال تعالى وأمر بالمعروف وينهى عن المنكر واصبر على ما أصابك.
Allah mentioned in the Quran, enjoin the good and forbid the evil and be patient in that which occurs.
فلا بد من هذه الثلاثة العلم والرفق والصبر.
So there's no, it's incumbent that we implement these three things. We implement knowledge and
الرفق
and gentleness and patience.
فالعلم قبل الأمر والنهي.
Because verily knowledge is before ordering and forbidding.
والرفق معه.
And gentleness is with it.
والصبر بعده.
And patience is after it.
وإن كان كل من الثلاثة مستصحبا في هذه الأحوال.
Even although all three have to be present in this affair.
وقال رحمه الله.
And was also mentioned by Umar ibn Abd al-Aziz.
لا لا شيخ الإسلام ابن تيمية.
شيخ الإسلام ابن تيمية also mentioned.
ومن تدبر الفتن الواقعة.
Whoever focuses or pays attention to the present fitna and trials and calamities.
رأى سببها ذلك.
They would see that the reason for it is that lack of what we mentioned.
ورأى أن ما وقع بين أمرائها وعلمائها.
And he would see that which took place between the rulers and the scholars.
ومن دخل في ذلك بين ملوكها ومشايخها.
And who entered upon these affairs from the rulers and the scholars.
ومن تبعهم من العامة في الفتن هذه أصلها.
And who followed the affairs of fitna, this is the origin of these affairs.
لعلي أكتفي بهذا القدر.
The Shaykh mentioned Habib Allah Ta'ala, he's going to suffice with that which he mentioned. Inshallah was sufficient, and may the peace and blessings of Allah be upon the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, his family members and companions.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi
wa
barakatuh.
Please give me water. السلام عليكم وبارك الله فيكم. نستعذركم في قراءة بعض الأسئلة
عند الشيخ عادل.
لا عندك.
عندك الله يغفر لك. ما جئنا نفتي.
أبد. وأنا أنا. عندك. أنا أخشى أن يا أستاذ مصطفى.
نعم
يعني يطول المجلس عليه ما شاء الله ثمانية
نعم أخشى أنه يضيع الآخر الأول
ثلاثة أسئلة شيء يصير
يعني مواضيع ثم سبحان الله الشيخ محمد ختمت كلمته من غير ترتيب بما ختمت به الكلمة السابقة وهي كلمتي بالصبر سبحان الله الصبر تأني بعد عن الفتن من غير ترتيب لا أعلم أنه سيأتي إلا هنا
I mentioned that the Sheikh Muhammad حفظه الله تعالى that he mentioned he concluded his lecture with the affair of being patient and the affair of staying out of fitna. And he said, this wasn't, keep in mind, Sheikh Adil Habib Allah Ta'ala, he mentioned Surah Al-Asr, you know, being, joining together upon the truth and joining together upon patience. And Sheikh Muhammad, the last part of his lecture was also about patience. And they did not speak to one another before they came here. So he said, this is from the blessings of Allah, that both of them ended their lecture about this without prior arrangements.
وتواصل بالصبر.
No.
الحمد لله. اقرأ السؤال على الشيخ.
أنا عندي.
لا عندك الشيخ. اسمح لي شوي الأسئلة يا شيخ. حقيقة أن الأسئلة دي من شخص واحد كلها
هذه
من الخط واحد وكأنه يريد أن يستأثر بالأسئلة كلها
شوف هذه نسائية دعوة بعض النساء من قبل النساء ليست على السنة.
أنا أعتذر يا إخوان على الأسئلة. أنا أعتذر على الأسئلة الحقيقة. بعض الأسئلة فعلًا يعني قوية وجيدة، لكن قد تخص شخصًا بعينه. قد يسمعها غيره ويطبقها على نفسه وهي لا تنطبق عليه. أما الأسئلة العامة يعني قد تكون نافعة للعموم.
مثلا هذا السؤال المرأة لما تزوجت لم يكن لديها علم فغيرت اسمها إلى اسم زوجها هل ينبغي لها تغيير اسمها إلى اسم أبيها؟
إيه نعم ترجع إلى الاسم الذي كانت عليه لعن الله من ادعى إلى غير والديها ومن انتسب إلى غير والديها وكما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام
There's a question here if a female because of lack of knowledge when she got married she took the name of her husband, is it mandatory that she changes her name back to the name of her father? And the Shaykh said, yes. The Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam mentioned, may Allah curse the individual that ascribes to other than his father. So he mentioned that, yes, she has to change her name back to... And it is a major sin that she keeps the name of other than her father.
هذه تحتاج محاضرة لكن أختصرها لك في كتاب ابن بطة العكبري رحمه الله ذكر بابا اسمه باب الفقيه الذي يستفتى وقد ذكر بأسانيده إلى رواتها وأصحابها نقولا عن السلف من أجمع وأشمل ما قرأت
ابن بطة العكبري There's a question here who are the scholars and what are their characteristics The Sheikh said this would actually require another lecture, but I would summarize it for you. There's a book by Ibn Battah al-Abkari, rahimahullah ta'ala. He has a book, the characteristics of the individuals that are the people of knowledge.
اسم الكتاب إبطال الحيل.
إبطال الحيل. The book إبطال الحيل. There's a book, and he said this is one of the most comprehensive chapters I've read about the affair of the scholars and who are the scholars.
لكن هي باختصار العالم هو الذي لا يقنط الناس من رحمة الله.
He said in summary is the individual that does not make the people despair from the mercy of Allah. This is the scholar.
ولا يؤمنهم من مكر الله.
And he does not make the people feel that they are safe from the punishment of Allah.
ولا يجرئهم على معاصي الله.
And he does not. And likewise, the scholar is not the individual that leads the people to sin.
والعالم هو الذي يكثر الاستدلال بالكتاب والسنة على فهم السلف الصالح.
Likewise, the individual that constantly mentions proofs from the book and the Sunnah and the statements of the Salaf al-Saleh.
فقد يكون أهل البدع يستدلون بالقرآن أو بالسنة لكن ليس على فهم السلف.
For verily, the people of innovation, they use the Quran for proofs and the Sunnah for proofs, but they don't use the understanding of the Salaf al-Saleh.
والعالم هو الذي يربي الناس بصغار العلم قبل كباره.
And likewise, from the characteristics of a scholar is that he teaches the people the beginning knowledge before the greater knowledge.
والعالم هو أيضا الذي يحترم النصوص ويقف عندها.
And likewise, a scholar is an individual that has respect for the proofs and he abides by the proofs.
ولكم أيضا أن ترجعوا إلى الكتاب وتروا أيضا كثير من أوصاف العلماء.
Likewise, he said, and you can refer back to the book and you will find many of the characteristics of the scholar.
وللشيخ محاضرة في الجامع الكبير الشيخ محمد حول من هو المفتي أو كذا بتعليق المفتي ليس كذلك؟
أي نعم.
And there's also a lecture.
فقيه الذي يستفتى.
A lecture for Sheikh Muhammad Al Faith Habib Allah Taala. With the comments of the Mufti. He has a lecture, who is the individual that gives fatwa? So you can attend that lecture. It was a previous lecture that he did in the Mufti's Masjid. Who is the individual to give fatwa? Previously he did that lecture, Sheikh Muhammad Al-Faith Habib Allah Ta'ala. And the Mufti, Samahat al-Mufti Abdulaziz al-Sheikh, he gave comments. You can refer back to that lecture to find out more characteristics. No. السلام عليكم ما نصيحتكم للعجميين الذين يجتهدون في تعليم اللغة العربية خاصة الذين يسكنون في السعودية.
يزيدون في الاجتهاد والصبر.
The individual is asking, what is your advice for the non-Arab speakers who are trying to learn Arabic? He said they should increase in their diligence in learning the Arabic language.
وندعو لهم التوفيق.
And verily, we would supplicate for them that they are successful. إهداء طالب للمدرس. هل يجوز إهداء طالب هدية للمدرس؟
هدية الطالب للمدرس تدخل من تحت باب هدايا العمال غلول.
No. Person is asking about the student giving presents to the teacher, and this goes under the forbiddance. There's a hadith about the worker accepting other than his pay. That was a hadith by the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam that it's forbidden.
لأن الأستاذ قد يتعاطف مع الطالب بعد هذه الهدية فيزيده بالدرجة.
Because it's possible that the teacher he becomes gentle and remorseful with the student after he receives this gift, and he increases or he shows favoritism toward him.
والهدية للمعلم في غير المدرسة والجامعة ما فيها درجات.
الشيخ يعني جعل تفصيل في المسألة.
هذا يقول هل تنصحني بحضور دروس العلماء حتى ولو كنت لا أجيد العربية؟
لعل يذهب معك من يعينك على الترجمة يترجم لك بعض الكلمات أو الشرح والعبارات من الشيخ فتكسب الأجر وتكسب أيضا تتعلم اللغة.
The individual is asking, do you advise me to attend the lessons of the scholars if I do not know Arabic? And he said, it's possible you can bring with you a person that can translate some of the statements, some of the knowledge for you. And likewise, you would gain reward. You would obtain reward for attending the lessons of the scholars. Suffice with that. We ask Allah Azza wa Jalla to bless our guest, Sheikh Dr. Muhammad bin Ahmed Al-Faifi Habib Allah Ta'ala, and Sheikh Abu Abbas Adil Mansour Habib Allah Ta'ala. And we ask Allah Azza wa Jalla to place their presence and that which we benefited from them on the scales of their good deeds on the day of Yawm al-Qiyamah. نسأل الله يبارك لكم في أعمالكم وصلى الله وسلم وبارك على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم تسليما.
جزاك الله خير، بارك الله فيكم.